Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact this show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, a slave by any other name. freedom is sometimes an elusive anomaly. Sometimes, no matter how much money you have, you remain a slave, totally dependent on your master. What you say and what you do depend on how long of a leash is around your neck, or if you have a leash at all. A slave was not allowed to be educated and develop an informed opinion. Those who did were met with severe opposition. Is that what happened to these popular black personalities? From the Jewish Insider, it talks about Philadelphia 76ers star Allen Iverson, how he responded to criticism of posts from Farrakhan, the NBA commissioner. They condemn all forms of hate speech, racism, or anti-Semitic behavior, no matter where it comes from, right? Article was written in Kevin Buick, Steve, and Sam Zeev Cohen. Buick and Sam Zeev Cohen in 2020. So, I say about 30,000 after he posted a photo of Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan and Basketball Hall of Famer Allen Iverson. That's the crossover, the little guy from the Sixers, right? You can picture, somebody posted a picture of him with Louis Farrakhan, addressed a maelstrom of criticism he faced for appearing to show support for a man who has for decades spouted anti-Semitic and homophobic conspiracy theories, right? So basically, Allen Iverson posted this picture of him in Farrakhan, right? He's a Hall of Famer, right? So Semiticism is hostility to or prejudice towards Jews. Now, that's a show in itself about who is the Jew and all that. That's partly about the thing is about. But I'm trying to take a shortcut, just to get one point across about how, you know, some of these guys are still beholden to people who cut checks for them. In terms of even their personal beliefs and expression, and freedom of speech. But homophobic conspiracy theories. Homophobic means fear of homosexuals. Homosexuals means people who have sex with people of the same gender. Gender being what sex you are. If you're two males having sex, two females having sex, that's a homosexual relationship. Same sex relationship, right? Conspiracy is to plan or conspire, right? Collude together, more than one person plan to do something. Usually associated with something diabolical, something that's not good for other people, maybe good, beneficial for the conspirators, but usually not good for anybody else, right? Anyway, so Minister Farrakhan said a lot, and he deserves his own show. So I don't have the time to do it just in this, but I'm going to get around. I guess one day I'll get around to doing a show on what Minister Farrakhan had said, right? I have read some things they complain about him saying. Being a minister of the Nation of Islam, he does not believe in homosexuality. He does not believe homosexuality is acceptable or moral. He also believes that the Hebrews of the Bible are black people. But to believe that is to say that the white Jew, right, is not a Hebrew, the Hebrew of the Bible. That could rub someone the wrong way. The blood-sucking Jews appear to be a generalization about a specific group of people who are Jews. Minister Farrakhan is entitled to his opinion and freedom of speech. There's much more. We don't always agree with everything our friends believe, but it is the truth that everyone should be after. So, when does taking a picture with someone represent support of anti-Semite or anti-homophobic conspiracy theory? Does Minister Farrakhan describe what he is experiencing as anti-Semite and homophobic? If he believes the black man to be the Semitic, to be Semitic, how can he be anti-Semitic? Well, those white Jews who consider themselves Semitic perceive his statement as a threat or an insult to Jews who claim to be Semitic. Right? Seems like the hate is being expressed by the maelstrom of criticism Iverson was attacked with because of the article said he appeared to be showing support for anti-Semiticism, right? So he's anti-Semitic, right? That's another whole, this whole thing about who the Semites are, that's some really deep stuff right there. Can't really handle that on a show, right? I'm going to touch on some of that, but not really give it any kind of a treatment that it really deserves. And you need, I would probably best give it the best treatment if I had some other folks as guests. Anyway, Farrakhan is an African-American historic figure. There are many African-Americans that would take a picture with him. Frank Rizzo dedicated a playground in a black neighborhood. He didn't get booed. People stood beside him, talked with him, and it was over. For the National Public Radio, NPR, right? Workers removed a statue of Philadelphia's controversial former mayor, Frank Rizzo, from its place of honor across from City Hall, right? Finishing the job that protesters attempted to accomplish during recent demonstrations against police brutality. In the 1970s, Rizzo famously told Philadelphia voters to vote white. But on this particular day, the City of Brotherly Love took down a memorial to a man who exploited its division. That sound familiar to y'all? For many Philadelphians, the larger-than-life statue of Rizzo, who also was police commissioner, was an overt symbol of white police officers' brutal treatment of black people and other minorities. The Frank Rizzo statue represented bigotry, hatred, and oppression for too many people for too long. Right? It's finally gone. Mayor Jim Kenney said Wednesday as he posted a photo of the empty spot where the large statue once stood. Mayor Jim Kenney is not an African-American. Governor George Wallace practiced racism in government and in his personal life, stating segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. We can't forget the slave-owning forefathers of this great country and their descendants. They express hostility and prejudice till this day. Some people who were Jews marched with Martin Luther King, as did people of other ethnic and racial backgrounds. Some people who were Jews participated in the slave trade. Some did not. Some white folks participated in the Underground Railroad and abolitionist movement. Some owned slaves. Some people who are Jews may be conspiring to dominate a corner of the world, but they wouldn't be the only ones planning such a deed. Maybe they are overgeneralizing when they relate to a behavior, when they relate a behavior to Jews, just as people overgeneralize when they relate something specifically to black people, Chinese people, white people, etc. Joe Biden had a relationship with KKK member and Senator Robert Byrd and delivered the eulogy for the Senate segregationist, referring to him as a mentor. Should Biden apologize? Well, he's the president of the United States. Remember, anti-Semitism is hostility to or prejudice against Jews. It also assumes that Jews are the Semitic people of the Bible. Imagine someone usurping your identity and denying you your birthright. That would make Jews a threat to the real Hebrew Israelite. In a second Instagram posted, Iverson wrote, I have always had the highest love and respect for all of my fans, regardless of their race, sexual orientation, gender, religion, political designation, or personal or political views. That's like saying I love everybody. Like, really? Do we really love everybody? Anyway. I respect Louis Farrakhan's strong voice on behalf of black people and his impact on the black community, he continued to say, right? His post wasn't meant to offend anybody. As one who has been a victim of racial injustice, personally, I do not support or condone hatred of any kind. Specifically, I do not support anti-Semitic or homophobic views from anyone, Iverson said. In this moment, when all oppressed people should stand together in solidarity, we need to see each other, learn from each other, and heal. We cannot stand for empowerment unless it is empowerment for all people. We must reject hate in any form. Right, okay. Now, I was going to explain, he was introduced to Farrakhan in 2017 by Louis Farrakhan, Minister Farrakhan's son, Mustafa Farrakhan, right? So, he wrote that he initially met Mustafa during his playing days. Farrakhan's family grew to love and respect me and my family, and the mutual respect that we have for one another still exists till this day. So they have a relationship, right? Allen Iverson and Louis Farrakhan, you know, there was a photo posted in them, right? And Mustafa's own son is a professional basketball player who spent time in the New York Knicks and Milwaukee Bucks, but he never had appeared in the game. So anyway. So I guess Mustafa Farrakhan should never post a picture with his father and himself. Even more, he should denounce Farrakhan as his father. Farrakhan is the father of Iverson's friend. Minister Farrakhan is the father of Iverson's friend. They have a relationship. Their families have a relationship. Sometimes we take pictures with people we have relationships with. And I'm sure we know a lot of people who do a lot of different things that we do not agree with. And we take pictures with them because we have a relationship with them. They could be in your nuclear family or your extended family or in your community. You know them, but you don't do what they do. You don't agree with everything that they do, but you take a picture with them. And you might agree with some of the things that they do, and some of the things might be controversial. But you might agree with that. You take a picture with them, right? So that's what people do. Remember, Joe Biden had a relationship with KKK member and Senator Robert Byrd and delivered the eulogy for the Senate segregationist, referring to him as a mentor. Did Biden apologize? You can check that article out in a thing called the Town Hall. So Iverson, as I said, Iverson was considered one of the best players in the league. At one time, he's known for the crossover. Plus, he's a small. I think he was only like 6. He might have been 6'1". He was short for the NBA, and he was a small guy, right? So He made a lot of money. He's very famous, very skilled athlete, right? Very controversial athlete outside of this thing with Farrakhan, but we're not going to get to that either. Then Philadelphia Eagles star receiver DeSean Jackson came under fire twice, posting fake quotes he attributed to Adolf Hitler. Initially liked the post, but later removed his like. Former NBA player Steven Jackson, who initially defended Jackson against accusations of anti-Semitism, commented on Iverson's post, "Love you, bro." So anyway, now Steven Jackson is giving support to his friend Allen Iverson, who is under attack by who are these people that Iverson should be concerned about them feeling, believing that he is in support of anti-Semitism or homophobic conspiracy. Is Steven Jackson under the same gun for his support of Iverson? Is Steven Jackson in support of anti-Semitism or homophobic? What is going on here? Based on the chain of thought, black people shouldn't support anything in America because America's wealth came from the institution of slavery. Blacks can't fine or punish America. It appears that some Americans can fine and punish blacks, though, right? Some Americans can fine and punish blacks. Are we to assume that everyone, every business, and every corporation has our best interests in mind, agrees with us, loves us, hasn't referred to us as niggers, and believes what we believe? We are not children. Let's face it. We are a nation of many ideologies, religions, political ideas, cultural, and, of course, personal or a melting pot, as they say, right? You got a whole lot of stuff going on here. Not everything is going to melt in the same, at the same degree. Some things need not be in the same furnace. Some religions, political affiliation, ideology will be in conflict, direct conflict. Some things will be acceptable to some, and some things will be unacceptable to others. Men have been against each other since the beginning. Unfortunately, right and wrong, good and bad, true or false is something men have not always agreed upon. You have to remember that the legal does not mean moral or ethical. But because it's legal doesn't mean that it's right, doesn't mean that it's the best thing or anything. As you can see, black people were forced into captivity in this country legally. But make it right because they passed the law. In a statement provided to the Jewish Insider, the Sixers addressed Iverson's recent social media activity. They basically say when he when he learned the post had caused hurt and offense, Allen expressed a continued commitment to standing for equality and opposing anti-Semitism, right? Racism and homophobia. We must come together to condemn bigotry of any kind. This includes embracing dialogue on these subjects and learning from each other, no matter how uncomfortable. Now, I like that part about what was said. This includes embracing dialogue, listening to someone else, right, on these subjects, right, and learning. Not enough to hear. Understand what they're saying, what each other are saying, no matter how uncomfortable, because I can see that a lot of people are uncomfortable with what these guys are saying. The NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, told Jewish Insider that the NBA has a long history of standing up for the principles of equality and the importance of respecting a diversity of viewpoints, but we condemn all forms of hate speech, racism, and anti-Semitic behavior, no matter where it comes from. So I said, let me check that out. From the victoric.weekly.com or weebly.com, history of racism in the NBA, right? So just a little short snip. Before the NBA had been founded, it was named the BAA when the first African-American player, Earl Lloyd, had been selected by Boston Celtics during the NBA draft. People were shocked that negative voices about him were too much. No matter what, people just did not think he can play well. Racism in the early history of the NBA actually existed just like now. Black players face challenges from racial discrimination on the court. Hard fouls, flagrant fouls, trash talk from white players made them tired. Outside the court, people treated them differently and considered them as colored people. In the 1950s, the NBA, most fans were white people, and the basketball team owner was owned the arenas as well. So the owners, the fans, most of the coaches, white. The people who worked for the teams, white. Only black people cannot rent arenas for any reason, right? Even they got money. If they had money in their pocket, they said, black people couldn't rent an arena. Black players played for the teams, so they had to be in the arenas, which means except for basketball players, no blacks were allowed in the arenas. The racism in the early days of the NBA destroyed a lot of great players' careers. They said a lot of guys could play, they never got a chance to. One of the most ridiculous things that was at the early period time of the NBA teams in the NBA did not prefer black people to score. It wouldn't be no Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, what's the boy name, Seth Curry, or Magic, none of them. Some of the black players were talented, just like Michael Jordan, Tracy McGrady, LeBron James, but the teams only expected them to pass the ball or grab the rebound for another skin color players. Yeah, that means white, right? There was another article that stated, it's like being in a zoo. This is written in 2020. Racism in the NBA. Racism in the NBA. While the players in the most progressive sports league in the world are still feeling discrimination, hate, the league seems to have an apparent duality. It is open to change for a wide range of issues in today's society, yet it hasn't found a solution to racism, an issue that has plagued African Americans for centuries in this country and the ethnic group that makes up the majority of its league. Well, so much for a long history of standing up for principles of equality. Anyway, in addition to Jackson's comment, right, former Miami Heat star Dwayne Wade apologized after tweeting a message of support for actor Nick Cannon, who was fired by Viacom CBS for anti-Semitic comments made in a recently resurfaced video. Wow, that means Nick expressed anti-Semitism or hostility toward or prejudice against Jews. But Nick believes black people are the Semitic people of the scriptures. That being true, Nick is being fired because his belief offends and contradicts the beliefs of the white Jew, or is there something else like his association with Professor Griff? From The Voice, Deshaun Jackson shares anti-Semitic quotes attributed to Hitler on Instagram, right? The Eagle released a statement on calling Jackson's post offensive, harmful, absolutely appalling. The wide receiver also apologized, right? He posted an apology, right? What This is what they are calling anti-Semitism. The document Deshaun Jackson posted, right? Hitler said, because white Jews knows that the Negroes are the real children of Israel, and to keep American secret, the Jews will blackmail America. The will to exclude America, their plan for world domination won't work if the Negro knows who they are. The white citizens of America will be terrified to know that all this time they've been mistreating and discriminating and lynching the children of Israel. They will fear God will destroy them as he destroyed Egypt for doing the same thing. So the elite, the Illuminati, keeps this secret at all costs. Doesn't sound like much of a secret to me. After I die, the author goes on to say, I will one day cause World War III just by this message, which will be like planting a seed in a people's mind until it sprouts once they nurture that seed and seek more truth and learn.
Hitler was right.
The quote origin is suspect, right? It said Jackson appears to believe Hitler is the source, at least passively endorsing the message filled with anti-Semitic tropes about Jewish people secretly controlling the world. Research suggests that the screenshotted passage is from the book Jerusalem by Deneen Barrett as the font in Jackson's post matches text in that book, right? But Barnett attributes the quote to a book by historian Robert Edwin Hertzstein, The Nazis, World War II, published in 1980, right? Wow. So I actually thought he said something else, considering it came from Hitler, who persecuted Jews, and the response Deshaun Jackson received, but I really don't know Adolf Hitler or the people who responded in the maelstrom. I don't know the actual writer either. The accusation about someone or a group of people is not a declaration of hostility or prejudice towards that person or people. It's what it is. It's an accusation. It is exactly what it says. In this case, the author accuses Jews or men who are Jews of plotting world domination, and they are not the original people or the Hebrew Israelite of the Bible. It also references white people who have been mistreating black people or the children of God in America. That would make blacks part of the diaspora, the African diaspora of the Israelites, right? Planting a seed and starting World War III is far-fetched. We have world powers that threaten world war right now. A world war affects everybody, black, white, red, yellow, Jew, Christian, and Muslim, whether you're in it or not. The quote alleged originator, Adolf Hitler, historically was anti-Semitic or anti-Jew, Jewish people, right? He is validated by the extermination and atrocities his Nazi war campaign inflicted upon the Jewish people. But he didn't say it. I can see why Jewish people would not like anything said or anybody recanting something they thought Hitler said about them. Jackson did not express hostility or prejudice toward Jews. The letter expressed an opinion allegedly stated by Hitler revealing the Jews' plan for world domination and questioning the true identity of the Jew. On September 16, 1919, Hitler issued his first written comment on the so-called Jewish question. Hitler's hostility and prejudice was expressed in how Hitler decided to speak against the Jews, remove Jews from Germany, referring to Jews as a race of tuberculosis, and advocated for discriminatory legislation against the Jews. That is hostility and prejudice. That is kind of like what happened to blacks in America, except for the removal of them. The captivity and discriminatory legislation against blacks. I get what Jackson was referring to in the document, but if he meant it to uplift his people, black people, maybe he should have shared it with his people and not left the door open to the scrutiny of those who would or could have been offended, and even more, have an impact on his livelihood. Jackson is obviously not free to express what he believes. Hitler or someone may have said that the current Caucasian Jew was not the original Jew or a real Hebrew Israelite, but he is hardly the only one to make such a claim. It's like these guys aren't saying anything that hasn't been said long time ago. There are historians who have stated that the Hebrews are of African descent or black people. Dr. Ben Jochanan, author of We the Black Jews, Hebrew Israelite sects debate this on street corners in America. The statue of the Black Madonna, Mary and Jesus were originally black. Black. Are we to think that they are hateful, bigoted, anti-Semites, or anti-Jew? Raw History, www.com. They also spoke about this thing about homosexuality. I don't know how that got in the mix. But I guess maybe Farrakhan had spoke about that or something. I don't know. I'm just assuming that somebody said something about it, right? They said, well, the God of the Bible says, it is an abomination for a man to lay with a man as a man lays with a woman. Something like that, right? Abomination means to disgust or have hatred. King James Bible Online, right? I went to that, checked out some Bible verses. Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus 20:13, if a man also lay with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So, I don't know how homosexuality became a part of Jackson's insult, but that is what the Bible states. Is the God of the Bible homophobic? The God of the Bible definitely hates homosexuality, and it disgusts him. Does that make pastors, elders, and worshipers homophobic? And if it does make them some homophobic, fact is hate is an emotion and you can't legislate hate. That's why I think it's still going on with black people in this country. You can't legislate that, how people feel. Just how they treat people in certain environments. And hopefully you can put a dent in that. If people believe homosexuality to be something God hates and finds disgusting, you can't expect them to accept homosexuality. And you can't expect them to view it as an abomination as dictated by their religious belief and the Creator and the Scriptures. Their fear of God's wrath and or love of God could cause some of them to become homophobic, fear of being influenced by behavior, ideology, or culture God hates could be viewed as a threat to their mental, spiritual, and afterlife. Black people have been living under the oppressed gun of racist Caucasian authority for hundreds of years. What kind of phobia is that? Joe Biden is president of the United States. He was fined and disciplined by the Eagles anyway, right? Jackson. Did they call him Action Jackson? I mean, that's a movie, I think. Carl Weathers. Anyway, Deshaun offered an additional apology via social media on directing a specific apology to the Jewish community as well as several prominent members of the Eagles organization. I want to apologize to the Jewish community. Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson. The Eagles organization, our fans, for the insensitive and ill-informed posts that I shared on my social media. My intention was to uplift, unite, and encourage our culture with positivity and light. Unfortunately, that did not happen. I unintentionally hurt the Jewish community in the process, and for that, I am sorry. Now, more than ever, we must work together to end discrimination of all types against all people and communities. I post a lot of things that are sent to me, he said. I do not have hatred towards anyone. I really didn't realize what this passage was saying. Hitler has caused terrible pain to Jewish people, like the pan-African Americans have suffered. We should be together fighting anti-Semitism and racism. This was a mistake to post this, and I truly apologize for posting it and sorry for any hurt I have caused. Biden is president of the United States of America. I don't think he apologized for any association with the known KKK and member and segregationists. President. He was vice president. 8 years. Now he's president. What's that? 12. That's going to be 12 years in the White House. And I don't know how long he was in government. All the historical white slave owners that America celebrates, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, abolitionist Benjamin Franklin, quotes and the historic and current racists and bigots that plague African Americans should be angry all the time and constantly flooding the media networks with letters of offense. Nobody has apologized to us. And these racist, hostile, and prejudiced icons are still being uplifted. They continue to sing the Star Spangled Banner, which specifically refers to killing the black slaves, ex-slaves, that fought for their freedom in the British Marines against the slave-owning colonists. Medium.com. On July 29th, 2008, the United States House of Representatives passed a resolution to apologize for slavery, segregation, and racism, and it was the first apology by the federal government for its villainous and murderous sins of racism against black people. Researchers of Ohio State University found that there are six elements to an effective apology. There are two aspects of the apologies that are most important, they said. First, to acknowledge wrongdoing, and the House apology acknowledges the wrong. Second is to offer to fix the problem, and that's where the apologies fall short. Congress has never reconciled the two resolutions, which shows the double-mindedness and split personality of the United States. Biden is president of the United States. And I heard he got 80% of the black vote. Something like that. My friend beat me up about Joe Biden before he became president. That does not mean that. That does not mean forcing or indoctrinating Iverson, Jackson, Dwayne, Wade, Nick, and Ice Cube to see things their way. It means coming to the table, examining the facts and accusations in search of the truth, no matter how painful the truth may be. Right? This whole thing about coming to the table. So if we're going to come to the table, doesn't mean forcing or indoctrinating. I just use Iverson and Jackson. Now, it just doesn't mean trying to force anything on anybody. Just what is it that you think and what supports what you are saying? So anybody bring that to the table, sit down and talk, and then you start working it out. Because this whole thing about, we shouldn't be arguing about who are the people of the Bible. I mean, that whole Bible thing is occurring in Africa. You know, and yes, there are Caucasians involved in that situation. I mean, you read the scripture, you read the Bible, you see there's actually Caucasians there, and there are Caucasians even documenting historical things, right, that they use, right? Anyway, rather we like it or not, our lives are intertwined with people who love us and hate us, believe what we believe or believe something contrary to what we believe. Sometimes the conflict of ideology and belief is viewed as an offensive and an attack, right? Jews have a right to express their feelings and ideas too, no matter how conflicting or agreeable it may be. That is actually how we grow. Sharing points of views, ideologies, beliefs, facts, and truth. And in sharing, I don't mean melting them together. In sharing, I mean giving information, sharing information. Like, what did you believe? Where did you get your information from? How is that supported by what we know? By what you know and what we know to be true, right? So that's sharing. Not only that, the negative way blacks are constantly portrayed in the media, that could be annoying and perceived as anti-black, anti-Semitic, if you believe black people to be Semitic. If white Jews don't believe blacks are Semitic, wouldn't that be anti-Semitic? Couldn't that be perceived as them being anti-Semitic? Then that's another generalization, because it could be Jews, European white Jews, who believe that blacks are Semites. It might even be some that think that they are the people of the Bible. We don't know. We don't know everybody. However, if Jackson was some dude talking at a party, on a park bench, in a row home, or a tent, nobody would be demanding an apology. Since his livelihood, employment, and high financial standing is tied to, dependent upon his employment, his employer, or masters, he can be coerced to apologize for saying he hated Jews, but for quoting a known hater of Jews. Not for saying he hated Jews, but for quoting a known hater of Jews. He was connecting his black people to the Hebrew Israelite people. That was what Jackson was using the quote to reveal who black people really are. Granted, he could have conveyed the very same message from sources not connected with the wholesale slaughter of the European Jews, especially if he is employed by or his livelihood is impacted upon or dependent upon people of Jewish ancestry. There are other sources that say that the black, you know, people in America are, or some, are part of the these tribes that were dispersed. Anyway, Nick Cannon. I said this from the New York Times. Semitic racism is what the world was built on and was the subject in which I was attempted to highlight in the recent clips that have been circulating from my podcast. Nick Cannon had a podcast. I don't know if he still got that or not. Well, he was talking about that. He talked with Professor Griffith, as I mentioned earlier. I have furthered the hate speech. I wholeheartedly apologize. He wholeheartedly apologized, all right? In the lengthy statement, Cannon said he was now receiving death threats, hate messages, but also an outpouring of love and support from the Jewish community. See? That's where you get that thing. So, I understand we talk that way. We generalize. We don't mean every single person when we say some things. But he's very, in this, this author writes, which is Nick Cannon saying, he receiving death threats, hate messages, and an outpouring of love and support from the Jewish community. He said he had dedicated the daily efforts to continuing conversations to bring the Jewish community and the African-American community closer together. Cannon said that he had tried to speak with Jerry Redstone, the controlling shareholder of Viacom CBS, to have a conversation and reconciliation, and actually apologize if I said anything that pained her or her community. But she had heard, but he said he heard dead silence, so she didn't respond to him. Viacom wanted to show me who was boss, hang me out to dry, make an example of anyone who says something they don't agree with. That's what Nick said. Well, that's what you do when you have power, my brother. And that's why you need to think before you start talking. He also accused the company of mistreating and robbing our community for years and of underpaying talent on their biggest brands. He had demanded an apology from Viacom, right? Full ownership of the Wild N Out brand and an end to the hate and backdoor bullying. That Wild N Out, that's a they play in the dozens. They talking about each other, joking on the show. I hear that's Nick Cannon's baby. I didn't know he owned any of that, because I thought that was his kid. So what did Nick do? He accused the company of mistreating, robbing the community for years, right? Mr. Cannon spoke with the rapper Richard Griffin, known as Professor Griff, about his dismissal from the hip-hop group Public Enemy. Professor Griff probably deserves his own show also. So if y'all may not know who he is, this is a little bit of it, right? Mr. Griffin left the group after he said in an interview with the Washington Times, "The Jews are wicked, and we can prove this." He also said that Jews were responsible for the majority of wickedness that goes on across the globe. He said he can prove this. So when a person says something like that, it's only one thing to do. Prove it. That's what needs to happen to somebody whenever anybody says something like that. All right, young man, let's prove it. The hell with all that. Oh, he's anti-Semitic. He's a bad person. Prove it. Right? Anyway, Griff doubled down on his past remarks about the influence of Jewish people in the music and media industries. He said he's hated because he told the truth. "You're speaking facts," Cannon said. "There's no reason to be scared of anything when you're speaking the truth."
don't know about that. Fear is an emotion, and is a reaction to threats. And sometimes threats come in the form of death. So if you are fearful, it's only human. But you speak still, right? If you think you're telling the truth. Mr. Griffin, go on and talk. So if you want to hear, we'd like to hear what you got to say. I'm going to do some more research on him, see what I come up with. Anyway, Mr. Cannon said it was an honor to have the legend, Professor Griffin, on his podcast. He also said it was a shame that Louis Farrakhan, a minister known for his history of anti-Semitic comments, had been silenced on Facebook. Responding to Mr. Griffin's contention that six dominant media companies are controlled by Jewish people, Cannon said it was comparable to the power of the Rothschilds, the banking icons, right, who are a focus of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, right? I find myself wanting to debate this idea, and it gets real wishy-washy and unclear for me when we give so much power to the days, and the days then turn into Illuminati, the Zionists, the Rothschilds, Mr. Cannon said later on the podcast. That's some more stuff right there. This is a whole bunch of stuff they're saying, y'all, and I really don't have time to really explain it all. I only got a half hour more, and let me see if anybody wants to say anything. Anyway, he also echoed Mr. Griffin's remarks about black people are the Semitic people by definition, and that Semitic people are not white. You can tell you can't be anti-Semitic when you are the Semitic people, Mr. Cannon said. That's our birthright. So if that's truly our birthright, there's no hate involved. All right, so. Not all Jews are captains of the music, media industry, or world influences. Maybe Professor Griff is referring to people who are of Jewish faith or ancestry that control the music media industry and influence the world. Fact is, these music media industry heads are going to perpetuate business that perpetuates their best interests. Being of the Jewish faith does not make them good men. Their deeds confirm if they are evil or good men. But Nick is having a discussion on a talk show in which he too expresses he believes the black man to be the descendant of the Hebrew Israelite or Semitic people. Not that it's a novel belief, concept, or ideas. I say it's not. The stone is thrown when what Nick states or implies is that white people, Jews, are not Semitic people. Although Nick is not the first to make such a statement, he happens to be economically dependent on people who identify as Semitic people, who are Jewish and who are white. To add salt to injury, he co-signs Professor Griff's indictment of Jews of being the author of evil on earth. Well, a lot of it. That is like biting the hand that feeds you or poking the bear. It could be career suicide for Nick, as for Deshaun Jackson. After all, they aren't sitting on a park bench, standing on the street corner, or in a tent having this conversation. They are high-profile individuals who have the ability to influence the opinion and perception of many people. Unfortunately for Nick, he does not control his destiny alone and can be punished for his insult. There's a lot of money involved, and to continue to make money, Nick has to apologize. He might be apologizing to Jewish individuals he knows, but if he knows them, he should apologize to them when he speaks to them, not in a public statement. I think it is an excellent topic for the round table. You know, that's a table where we all gather around to find out what is real, what is true, what each other are talking about, to understand each other, right? Gather the Hebrew Israelite, the Jew, the theologians, historians, archaeologists, and discuss the topic of who is who. What does it all mean? Individuals who seek to silence the discussion are at least suspect, with something to hide or something to fear. If you're seeking the truth, no need to be fearful. Nobody's trying to execute you for finding the truth. But people have done that. But for what we're talking about, this is not about you being executed or stoned to death. Excuse me. Does Nick have to go to Israel to get the truth? The truth has no borders, respect to person, religion, etc. Is the truth not here in America? Is Nick and Professor Grip perpetuating an untruth about Semitic people and the Jewish music media gods? Does Professor Grip know something about the history of black people and Semite people? Does it mean you hate white Jews if you say they are not or cannot be Semitic people simply because of their Caucasian, European ancestry? I can see where that may injure a Jewish person of European ancestry because that's their belief system. It's like telling them, your God isn't real. Right? As you find, just bring it down to learning that your father is not your father. You know, even all these years, you thought this man is your father, and he's not your father. Something like that kind of puts a dent in people. So I don't know if it's greater or less or not, but it's the same thing if it's dealing with your belief system. Anyway, that's for some people. Some people not that they don't have that thing going on. You know, some people go from Christian, Muslim, Christian, or whatever, or nowhere. So there has to be an awakening in America. Afro-Americans, blacks, descendants of the slaves are shaking off the mental chains of oppression, degradation, spiritual and mental and physical abuse, where once their past was blinded by captivity and forced separation. Now, many thirst for their ancestry, heritage, future, truth, and a relationship with the Creator. Sometimes what we think we know is what we think we know, and then there is the truth. Just want to remind everybody of any callers to press 1 if you want to speak. Once you call in, you have to press 1. I don't want anybody to think I'm ignoring all callers, because I'm not. All right, so Ice Cube was criticized for posting a string of anti-Semitic images and conspiracy theories. And I'm going to go on and say, Joe Biden is president of the United States. Gave the eulogy for KKK, known KKK member, and segregationist. Anyway, he posted images that appear to amplify anti-Semitic tropes tying Jews to the oppression of black people. They appear to nod to debunk conspiracy theories about the nose of Egypt's sphinxes that first surfaced as attempts to manipulate black voters in the 2016 election. I must have been asleep during the 2016 election because I don't know nothing about that. Anyway, retweeted an image of Dahl deprecating on a Confederate flag before pivoting to a series of images of black cubes, including one suspended inside a five-pointed Jewish star, which are sometimes referred to as the black cube of Saturn. The Daily Beast wrote that placing the occult image inside the star heavily implies that the Jewish people are stoking the flames of division, while the cube has also been tied to claims that Jewish people were behind the 9/11 terror attacks and COVID-19. Woo! I'm not going to say anything about COVID-19. That's why I'm doing this show. I'm tired of COVID-19. 20, 21, 22, 23. Sick of it. But hey, anyway. Q wrote, "What if I was just pro-black? This is the truth, brother. I did not lie on anyone. I didn't say I was anti-nobody. Don't believe the hype. I've been telling my truth." He has also added the statement, "You know who I am and what I stand for. I believe in actual facts, and I stand on the truth alone. Lies get spit on." Right? Then one of the images posted showed men with the kind of exaggerated facial features typically associated with anti-Semitic tropes, playing Monopoly on the backs of black people. I remember that. Table. The shot came from a 2012 mural painted on the wall of London's Tower, Hamlet's neighborhood, and was removed due to its disturbing imagery. In response to an image of slaves working in Egypt with the caption, "Hebrew Israelite slaves in ancient Egypt, clearly there are a black people." International human rights lawyer Arson Chomsky replied that they are black, the Hebrew Israelite slaves in Egypt. He said they're black. And in addition, I guess this is a Caucasian brother. "Sorry, Ice Cube lost all respect for you now. Was willing to give you benefit of the doubt, but no more. You cannot claim to fight racism by employing anti-Semitism. It also only demeans the memory of George Floyd. Shame on you." So, international rights lawyer Arson Ostrovsky replied, I sound like a European brother. He said after Israel posted image of Egyptian caption with Hebrew Israelite slaves in Egypt, clearly they are black people. So he looked at the image, say, "Hey, these are black people," and this guy said, "Hey, you know, shame on you." Acclaimed writer Professor Roxanne Gay reacted to one of David Starr's Star David post. "It is impossible to take you seriously with regard to social justice or anything when you post anti-Semitic imagery. What the are you doing?" When BET News host and Temple University professor Mark Lamont Hill wrote, "Sadly, no. This is his second anti-Semitic post in a week. Conspiracy theories of Jewish global domination are textbook anti-Semitism, right?" Cube responded, "What if I was just pro-black? This is the truth, brother," he said. "I didn't lie on anyone. I didn't say I was anybody. Don't believe the hype. I've been telling the truth." Seemingly reacting to some of the blowback, Cube later wrote, "Don't believe the hype. The devil will come at me and you with this tactic. Dismiss us, discredit us, demonize us, destroy us. So I guess if I can't dismiss you, can't discredit you, can't demonize you, turn the people against you, got to destroy you if you're getting a following. So I guess that's why Martin Luther King is dead. Malcolm X, Medgar Evers. Hell, JFK. Anyway. He said the formula, that's the formula they used against Martin Luther King Jr. and many others, including women during the so-called witch hunt, right? They're going to talk about a whole lot of other things that Q did. Q said, they said on, he said, this is Q. My account has not been hacked, he wrote. I speak for no organization. I speak only for the meek people of the earth. We will not accept crumbles from your table. We have the power of Almighty God backing us all over the earth. No more talking. Repent. They said that the confounded mix of posts from Q, who recently canceled an appearance on Good Morning America because he said he was done talking. In the wake of the killing of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer, also included one that alluded to the far-right deep state conspiracy theory mime machine QAnon. The post has an image of the phrase Ice Cube posted, media is complicit, hashtag treason, Q, to which Cube added, stop it. I don't know who the FQ is. It's just a true statement. So he's agreeing that the media is complicit in treason. Has nothing to do with Q. But some people don't understand that because their minds don't work that way or they don't want to see it that way and want to use it. So that's what Q is saying. I mean, Cube is saying. The Jewish Star tweets are not the first time Cube has been hit with charges of anti-Semitism. In his 1991 diss track, No Vaseline. Now they went to talking about the rap track that he had when he broke up with N.W.A. I think this is a little out of the way right here. But they went there to say he broke up with them and then he wrote this up. I don't know, with one song, two songs, I don't know what. I know I've seen some of it on that show about N.W.A. Homophobic references and anti-Semitic slurs aimed at the group, Jewish manager Jerry Heller. Homophobic references. Get rid of that devil. Real simple. Put a bullet in his temple, because you can't be the nigga for life crew. With a Jew telling you what to do, he raps after saying, cause you let a Jew break up my crew. Something like that. That's what I'm reading that. So I don't know if that whole just went that way, you know, but that's what he's saying. So if you know the slurs are specific about Jerry Heller, it can't be anti-Semitic. It's anti-Jerry Heller, who is a Jew that broke up their crew. That is artistic license, and according to Ice Cube, that's the gospel truth. Homosexual references are not statements of fear of homosexual. It's a homosexual reference. So the fact is, in some circles, for a man to allow another man to penetrate him like a woman is an abomination, an egregious assault or insult. Hence, the metaphor of getting penetrated with no grease or controlled and raped by Jerry Heller. I think that is the reference to homosexuality. I guess Ice Cube is a racist because he used the word nigga. Is you a racial slur? Is it a religious or cultural ancestral identification? But I've read somewhere where that actually is a slur to some people. But we're not here to have that conversation. Whatever Cube is, he is not a slave to his employer and is expressing freedom of speech and information and is able to defend himself. For starters, it would behoove us to find out if there is any truth to what these brothers are actually saying. All of this, all that stuff I hear the people, oh, what you shouldn't say. That's not good enough. You want to say that, you don't have nothing to say after that, then you can't help us. You can't help the situation. We need those people who say, who want to say, yo, let's sit down and talk. I heard something about that may be occurring in a Nick Cannon situation. I'm not sure. But anyway, this is an opportunity for us to come to the table and talk or not. It's definitely black folks need to come to the table and sit down and talk about what these guys are talking about. What y'all talking about? And what do you mean we the Hebrew Israelites? And how does that impact on me? And what difference does it make if I identify the Hebrew Israelite or not? How would it change? How would it change how I'm being treated, viewed in the world? You know, so a public apology is a public humiliating, humbling experience, and could be humiliating for some people that might give the outward impression of submission, but the truth will set us all free from the imprisonment of a lie. Seek the truth, and the truth will set you free. It may not be what you want to hear, you know, and but as long as it's the truth, hey. And we're not talking about, and you know, it's hard to reach back 2,000 years and come up with an answer to everything. But we try. We dig stuff up. We dig things up. Gather things, and we try our best. You know, as you know, you can get a book about American history and it will not tell you not much about what actually happened in all American history. Go to any high school, any middle school, and say, grab a history book. You're not going to really get the gist of what happened to the peoples here in this country, slavery included, indigenous peoples, slave captives, and just not going to get that story. You're not going to get So, I think there was another brother that jumped on, Mr. Rodney Muhammad. Try to get him in before we got 11 minutes. He shared a picture that depicted anti-Semitic cartoon next to photos of black celebrities who recently came under fire for their own allegedly anti-Semitic comments, right? Rodney Muhammad is a Muslim for the Nation of Islam. I think he started at Temple No. 12 in North Philly. He's Philadelphia NAACP president. And he received, he referenced the backlash against the Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson, actor, rapper, Ice Cube, actor, rapper, producer, director, and comedian, TV host Nick Cannon, right? We have all attracted attention recently for advancing theories that blame Jewish people for the plight of black Americans. Cannon and Jackson have since apologized for their recent posts. Cube has doubled down. So the image shared suggests that the blowback and apologies were also a part of a grand scheme orchestrated by the Jews, right? After being contacted by a reporter, Muhammad removed the post, initially saying he didn't remember sharing it. He later acknowledged it, but said he didn't realize the image included was offensive to Jewish people. to be real honest with you, I didn't even pay attention to the picture. The post included a caricature of Jewish man wearing a yarmulke and pressing a large bejeweled hand down on a faceless mass of people. Similar caricatures traced back to before the Holocaust and were often used to depict Jews as a force of greed and oppression. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. That was the next image. Next to the image was a quote falsely attributed to a French philosopher, Voltaire. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. All right. The real source of the often misattributed line is Kevin Storm, an American neo-Nazi, Holocaust denier, and white supremacist who, in 2008, was convicted on child pornography charges. So, this is how people get tricked up. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. Well, you got to have a lot of power to stop somebody from criticizing you. Power to stop them from eating, paying their bills, working, getting paid, eating, paying your bills, right? So that's actually a true statement. Doesn't matter who said it, right? Who cares who wrote the quote? The quote says is what is important and relevant. What it says is important. It doesn't matter if Adolf Hitler, Attila the Hun, George Wallace, George Washington, or Frederick Douglass said it. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. Rings true. That is censorship, among other things, coercion. And powerless people do not have the power to punish people for criticizing them. If anybody knew how to rule over someone, surely the Nazis did, but they don't have a monopoly on oppression. All right? So we can just take that back to slavery, where the black man couldn't say anything about a white person. He couldn't say anything in defense of himself, as many of them were lynched for things that they didn't do. Not that I'm saying it's okay to lynch somebody either. I'm just saying that they got lynched for nothing. Imagine what happened if they criticized a white person. And I guess maybe somebody did that and probably end up being strange fruit on a tree. Muhammad was often praises the work of Minister Farrakhan. He's from Chicago. He's a part of the Nation of Islam. So, anyway, they say Farrakhan's made derogatory remarks about Jewish people. He said some things that I could see where they would be angry with him and Professor Griff. But after you get angry about what somebody says, oh, what are you going to do? We have a call that looks like 4159. Let me see. Let me get to you. Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought. Sorry. Hello?
No problem. Salam alaikum, Carlton.
Wa alaikum as-salam. I don't know how long you was on there. I didn't even see it.
It's okay. Hold on one second. I'm in the car. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
No. Okay. So this is a thought that came to mind. If by chance we were to sit down at the table and explore whether blacks are the true Hebrew Israelites, and then find out that is true across the board, it would cause the same catastrophic or uproar that extraterrestrials would cause to the Christian believing world.
Wow.
It would shake up the whole foundation, because then they would have to face that the true people of God, they have murdered, killed, mistreated, and they have to face that. So instead of facing that, annihilate them, kill them, continue to lie, continue to believe that they are who they are in order to stay in power.
Wow.
Other than that, I don't see no other reason to explore it. What are you afraid of? If you know who you are, you know where you came from, you know your history, it hasn't been taken from you, no one stripped it from you, then let's walk down that road and let you prove yourself. They don't want that proof to be shown, because then they lose position, and then it opens up the door to, how did they get position? Who put you in this position? Who stands to make money and goals from this position? Who's working with you? Who are your allies? That's going to cause a big problem.
They already have power. So, things are already set up the way they are. So, only thing it'd be that now, they say that all black people get to find out if they are these Hebrew Israelites from the Diaspora. Okay, you are. Okay, y'all are those people. So that means that they go back to Israel?
That doesn't mean that they go back to Israel, but if we go by their religious texts, then yeah. Yeah, because if they're going to go by the religion and the beliefs, then that is where we're supposed to be. That is it. That's our birthright. That's a blessing. In fact, if we go by the Bible, we're called to go back. To go back. Come out of this and go back. If all of that is true. But what the only thing I'm looking at is, why are they so afraid to explore if it's true? What are they hiding? What do you have to hide? And we already know who they are. We know who they are.
Right.
Not just
I suspect that there are Jews, that white Caucasian Jews, that know what Nick Cannon, Dr. Griffin, and Farrakhan are talking about when they say the people of the Bible are black people. But that's not a really big secret if you are a person that reads and researches, does a little research. Not a lot.
Right.
I don't even need a whole lot of research. I got that a long time ago from someone reading the Bible. And not even, you know.
I think it's more of a thing of exposure and calling it what it is. And because they have some power, and because we're working off of a system of money system. Yeah, working on their money system, they can pull the cards like you said and disembowel us and say, you know what, I'm going to take my money, I'm going to take my wealth that I gave you and leave you penniless and see if it was more important for you to know whether you're a Jew or whether you want to be a poor black man in this country. So
Let me just call her in real quick. 8258, you got like...
Okay.
30 seconds.
Carol, if you go by the Bible, you don't belong there. The time of the Gentiles, they said that Jerusalem would be trampled under the feet of the Gentiles. The true Hebrews, along with the church, won't go back to Jerusalem until Jesus comes. He's the one that'll get you out of this mess and take you back to the new Jerusalem. But until then, it's supposed to be just what it is. We don't belong there, because Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, according to the Bible.
Okay.
Okay?
The thing
is that everybody knows, except for the people, because they've been blinded because of their sins and their disobedience to God. So everybody knows, but
Got to go.
They don't know.
All right, got to go. I want to thank everybody for calling, listening. To next week. Peace.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Court from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.